You are listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, Pastor Ray launches our Vision 2020 series, where he lays out God's plan and vision for the future of our church.
Now, I want you to think about this today. At a future point, at some point in the future, our vision to engage God's mission, what we're calling Vision 2020, will become our legacy. Think about that. Our vision at a future point will become our legacy. Our commitment to the vision will be the faith shoulders upon which future generations will stand. I love how David says this. It's really a prayer in Psalm 102, verse 18. 102, verse 18. And this is what he says, an amazing, amazing prayer. He says, "Let this testimony be recorded for a generation yet unborn, that a people yet to be created shall praise the Lord." What a profound verse, what a profound prayer that is. And that's why I think that this vision is such an important journey for us to make. We are creating our legacy of faith. Not only are there some initiatives that we're going to engage in, some things that we're gonna do, things that we will see, but in this season of time, our season of time, we are creating a legacy of faith for future generations. Now, the visible part of Vision 2020 will be the three initiatives that you've heard about this morning, you've heard about in the past, you've seen printed and produced and publicized in various places. And those three initiatives are Gather, Grow, and Go. Now, again, I just would encourage you, as Linda did, that if you didn't listen to that message back in September, find the URL and listen to it and begin to let God stir your heart and how he may want you to engage in what he is doing through Portland Christian Center. And that vision is based on the New Testament model of Acts 20:20. That's why we're calling it Vision 2020, not only because of the year, but because of the verse. Acts 20:20, which is the template really for the New Testament church of any age. And it says that they gathered together in a public place. They were in a building together. Not only were they in the building, but they dispersed to their homes where they grew. They grew in discipleship. And I believe that through their homes, they grew numerically. That's where I think church growth happens best, because the community, the neighborhood around, begins to watch the people of God living out the love of Christ amongst themselves. And they're attracted to that. They say, "I want a part of that. I don't have that in my life." So this church, New Testament church, met together in the public place. And then they met in their homes, they gathered and they grew, but then they also scattered. And we're told that wherever they went, they preached the good news of Jesus Christ, that salvation comes through grace by faith in him alone. And so they were committed to taking the message. They put the go in gospel. And so that's what our vision is. We're simply coming back to the New Testament model of what the church, an authentic church, is supposed to be. And so in this Vision 2020, we're going to be called upon to make heroic financial sacrifice to refresh this 40-year-old building. We are going to honor the place where we gather. And after 40 years, this place, this beautiful place that God has given us, not every church has a place, but we do. And it needs some tender, loving care. And so over the weeks and months to come, we're going to talk about how we can engage in that. We're also going to be called to rearrange our lives around the primacy of spiritual community, the home group strategy that we're calling Grow, to help us to do just that, to grow spiritually and to grow numerically. I believe that we need to untether Portland Christian Center just from this building and put us out in every neighborhood in Portland and let Portland see what the body of Christ in action is all about. And so we are going to grow spiritually as we get face to face with one another in sustainable, sustaining, encouraging, accountable relationships within our homes or wherever God places us. Maybe it's in a school, maybe it's in an office, whatever. But we are going to grow spiritually and numerically this year and in the decade to come. And then we're going to be called to increase our already very powerful missions commitment to go to the world. Not only the world far, but the world right here. Because God is bringing the world. God is bringing the unreached right here to the city of Portland. And so we're going to go with our gospel. We're going to put the go in our gospel like never before. In this age that I believe is at the end of time. I think we're living in the last days. I don't know about you, but I just have a sense that the time is short. And here's what I want to do, and here's what I want us to do. I want us to take as many people to heaven as we possibly can. I think that is the best and wisest use of our time and our resources and our energy is to do just that. We're going to gather, we're going to grow, and we're going to go. And so over the next few months, in 3 week or 4 week micro bursts, I'm going to unpack each of these initiatives. I'm not going to do it all today. It's going to come in the weeks ahead. But over time now, the next 4 or 5 months, we're going to unpack what this looks like, our strategies for gathering and growing and going. And I'm going to start that next week with a 3 week mini series on our Portland community strategy, how we are going to launch communities in every neighborhood in Portland. But here's what I want to talk about today. This is really what I want you to think about, and this message has already been communicated throughout this service already, that what is more important than the visible destination of 2020's gather, grow, and go will be the journey itself. More important than the destination is the journey. The old Chinese proverb, I think, is exactly right. The journey is itself the reward. The journey is the reward. Would you agree with that? The journey is the reward. The poet Homer said it this way, the journey is the thing. He's absolutely right. And so our reward won't be just building blueprints or growth groups or more missionaries, not that alone. We're going to strive for that. We're going to see that. We're going to hit some markers on that in incredible ways, I believe. But the reward will be the legacy of faith that we leave. That's the fruit. That's the reward. So Vision 2020 is going to greatly expand our faith capacity, and that's going to be a legacy that will far outlast these three initiatives. And here's what we're going to see. When we launch out into this, when we take steps of faith to achieve this vision, we're going to see moments where God shows up to do the supernatural. We're going to see moments where God steps in and he does what only God can do when he performs the miraculous among us. Because this vision 2020, will be impossible if God doesn't do that. This is a vision where if God doesn't show up and support our steps of faith, if he doesn't come alongside us and underneath us and behind us and look out for us, I'm going to look pretty foolish. And some of you are too. But that's the kind of vision, that's the kind of place that I want to put myself in, where we step out so greatly in faith that God does show up and he does the supernatural. We're also going to experience the release of uncommon blessing, because daring faith catalyzes divine favor. You want divine favor in your life? Then unleash daring steps of faith. And many people never experience that. Many Christians never experience that from the safety of the shallows of their comfort zone. You have to step out. You have to be bold. You have to courageously go beyond where you've ever gone before if you want to experience that kind of divine favor that's in the supernatural realm. We're also going to experience changed lives. People that were once far from God will now be redeemed like you and me, through God's grace. That's what's going to happen as we execute upon this vision. More and more people are going to come to know Jesus Christ in the city of Portland and around the world than we've ever seen before. I think the greatest harvest is yet ahead of us as God helps us with this. And we're going to be laying a spiritual path for those who follow. Those who follow our faith steps are going to see how it's done. A generation to come. And that generation to come will rise up and they will call us blessed for our ruthless faith, our ruthless trust in this season of time that God has given us. David said in Psalm 22, verse 31, he says, generations yet unborn shall hear of all the miracles God did for us. I want that to be our testimony. Generations to come will hear of all the miracles that God did for us in our day. We are going to give them, friends, we are going to give future generations something to talk about by what we do in our moment. Down the road, our kids, our grandkids will stand on our visionary spirit and our sacrificial giving and our daring obedience as they make their own faith adventure. It was 3 weeks ago this Sunday. 3 weeks ago, or I'm sorry, 3 years ago. It was 3 years ago on this week, this Sunday, that we accomplished a very bold vision that we had set out to achieve. It was called Unleashed. You remember that? It was our Get Out of Debt campaign 3 years ago. What an awesome time that was. And you know, we said as a goal, we believe God was calling us to this vision, that we would erase the corporate debt of Portland Christian Center. When we started thinking about this, we had about $3 million of corporate debt. And it was at a very bad time to launch a get out of debt campaign. The economy had tanked, and it was very, very unlikely that we could do this. It was inconvenient for us. Some people thought this is impossible, and I kind of thought that as well. But God came alongside us, and he helped us. And we celebrated on this Sunday 3 years ago by bringing our children in for the raucous "We're debt-free" moment. You remember that announcement? We're debt-free, and we shot off the kabuki cannons, and it was amazing. But I had asked for the children to come in and to stand down at the front here and to be full participants in this, because I wanted that vision for a debt-free faith to stick with them. I wanted our commitment to living debt-free faith to stick within their hearts, so that when they have the opportunity and the calling to do great things for God, they will remember that it takes faith to do it without getting into debt. What we do in our moment, what we do in this moment in time, will determine what they do in their moment in time in future decades, 10, 20, 30, 50 years from now. And that's why this opening verse that I read from Psalm 102 is so critical for you and me. In fact, I want us to read it together. Let's put this up on the screen, and I've changed the word "let this testimony" to "let our testimony." And I want you to just say this with me in the most heartfelt way that you can. So everyone together, let's say this: let our testimony be recorded for the generation yet unborn, that a people yet to be created shall praise the Lord. Now, here's what I want you to know today. Vision 2020 is not just about us. Vision 2020 is about you. There is a corporate side to the vision, and there's a personal side to it. And so, as I've said, I'm going to roll out the corporate vision in the next months. But I want you today to begin to do some personal visioneering, what I would call visioneering. I want you to engage on a personal level in some visioneering of your own. And I want you to pray that verse that we just read. And I want you to begin to envision the testimony that God wants to give you that will impact future generations. Every one of you here, God wants to give a vision, and he wants to give you a life. I don't care how old you are or how young you are. I don't care how rich you are, how poor you are, how educated or not you are, how popular or not you are, how resourced or not you are. God wants to give you a vision that will lead to a legacy of impact in the years to come. And I want to ask you this: what are you doing today? What are you doing today that will make a difference 100 years from now? What are you doing today that will make a difference in one or two or three generations down the road? What are you doing? As I said last week, God created you with the seeds of greatness. Every single person in this room has been created with the seeds of greatness, the seeds of greatness, unlimited potential for a legacy-leaving faith. Every one of you. But you need a vision for it. You got to get a vision for it. You have to start picturing what God wants you to possess. What are you doing that will make a difference 100 years from now? What are you doing today that will leave them talking about it 100 years from now? Now, I suspect that some of you, maybe most of you, might think that that kind of vision, that kind of grand, huge vision, only comes to pastor types like me that stand behind pulpits and spouts off crazy talk. But that's not true. That is not true. Every time you read about a great vision in Scripture, every great vision in Scripture came to once ordinary people. You ever thought about that? They were ordinary people, but they became great in faith because they got a vision and they took steps of obedience, bold, daring steps of faith to achieve it. I think about Abraham, the father, the spiritual father of our faith. He was a childless wanderer when he got a vision for a family as numerous as the stars of the heaven. David, a young shepherd who got a vision to lead Israel to national greatness. Nehemiah, we're going to talk more about him in a moment. Nehemiah was just a government clerk, and he was in exile. He wasn't in his own home government. He was in exile, and he got a vision to get home and to rebuild Jerusalem. And God wants to give you an impact too. He wants to use who you are, whether you think that's enough or not. He wants to use who you are. He wants to use what you have, whether you think you're well-resourced or not. He wants to stir in supernatural power to create an extraordinary legacy out of your life, through your life. But it has to start with vision. It always starts with vision. By the way, I would say that's one of the reasons why we have created this ministry called Grow Track. Every single Sunday in a room right over in this hallway, and it's on a rotating basis, we get people together to hear about the mission of God and the vision of God for Portland Christian Center and how they might engage in it. We don't do that just to keep your schedule full. We don't do that because we're looking for something from you. We're really trying to unleash vision in you. We're helping you to see how to take who you are and what you have and stir in God's power to create this amazing legacy of faith that you're going to leave someday. And you're going to find out what God wants to do in you and through you in this church and through this church. And so if you've never gone through that, I hope that you will, because you will walk out of that at the end of the day with a better vision for what God has designed and destined you to achieve. Starts with vision. And so again, today, the challenge, the assignment, is that I am unleashing you to some visioneering. Unleashing you to visioneering, which means engineering a God-ordained vision for your life. A God-ordained vision for your life. Now, before I tell you how to do that, we're going to look at Nehemiah. We're going to see him as an example of how to go through the process of visioneering. Before we do that, I want you to hear how two guys at Portland Christian Center have done some creative visioneering and how God is using them, who they are, who they uniquely are, and what God has uniquely given them to uniquely make an impact in Portland among people that wouldn't darken the doorway of Portland Christian Center. As I said, God is unleashing us to reach the unreached around the world, and that includes the unreached that he has brought to Portland, to the city of Portland. There are people that are now unreached with the gospel that live in the city. And I want you to hear how a couple of people are doing that from our church. And the first one I want to talk about, I'm not going to bring him up on the stage and let him tell a story just because we don't have enough time for this, but at some point in the future, I want you to hear. And that is Paul Lewandowski. Paul Lewandowski got a vision to reach out to an unreached group in the skater community. He wanted to use who he was, his skills, his passions, his talents. And so he came to us with this growing vision. He said, hey, I think I want to do this. I want to start a skater church among the skater community. And we began to talk about that, pray about that, and we presented it to our staff and our board, and we resourced the initial outreach to begin this ministry. And this is what Paul wrote to me this week. He said the idea for First Love, which is what he's calling it, the idea for First Love and skate nights started when I noticed that there were Jesus conversations that I wasn't able to pursue while teaching and leading in an after-school skateboarding program within the public school system. God gave me a vision to pastor within the skateboarding community and use my influence and my skill set to start a ministry to skateboarders that focuses on Christ-centered teaching, building relationships, and sharing a passion, that is skateboarding. And by the way, this is happening right under our noses. It's happening. It's going on here in the building of Portland Christian Center. And he says this, since we started our skate nights in September, we have shared the gospel with around 70 young people and some parents too. And as of this these past 2 weeks, he's been running 30 to 40 of these young people coming into our building to learn how to skate and also to hear about Jesus. Most of these do not attend a church. Most of these do not attend a church and have no religious affiliation. They are what we now call the nones, N-O-N-E. They have none when it comes to church affiliation. Our God-given dream is to start a church within an indoor skate park, a church that doesn't look like a church, to expand our reach into this community that desperately needs Jesus. What a creative way to see what God would take and God would use through one ordinary life to reach extraordinary amounts of people. I believe God is going to use this in ways that are just going to be beyond our wildest beliefs. And you ought to be glad that we're doing this. One, because you care about the lost. But two, if those skateboarders came into this church, which they probably wouldn't, you would be offended when they skated down the center aisle for prayer time. And when they caught air going off this with their skateboards at the end of the service, you'd think, what is going on with my church? So here's what we're doing. We're taking Portland Christian Center out to the community. Amen. That's why we're going. That's why we're going to have this home group strategy. You know, we enjoy church as we gather together, but we need to unleash us and get us out where the people are that wouldn't come here. And that's exactly what we're doing. You know, a few years ago, we joined with another ministry partner, who had a vision to reach a unique group of people that live down in the Pearl District. And by far the greatest majority of them, a huge percentage of these people would never go to church, had never gone to church, didn't want to go to church. They had a really strange view of how weird the church was. And so we have been planting the church among the unreached in the Pearl District. And so I want you remember we invested initially in this. Now, I want you to welcome Mark Seeger. Mark and Tracy Seeger started this ministry. And I want you to welcome Mark as he comes to the podium to talk to us about what God has been doing through this ministry over the last few years. Mark, thank you. God bless you.
Thanks, Pastor Ray. You may ask yourself, why are we doing church this way? Why don't we just simply invite everybody to an existing Sunday morning gathering? Well, we tried that 9 years ago. We planted down in the Pearl District, and no matter how much we invited people or whatever methods we used to get those invitations out, and people even loved us and trusted us as people and as their friends and neighbors, but simply they would not go to church. They just wouldn't go to church no matter what our efforts were. So we realized that as the church, we have to go to our neighbors. In Luke chapter 15, verse 4 says, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? See, we believe that Portland is a collection point of ones, meaning the people who are not a part of the 91. Or who are not a part of the 99. And so we feel like church for us has to be going out to the ones who will not go to church. One of our neighbors started attending our community dinners and our faith gathering. And after a couple months of coming, he said to me, Mark, you know, God must have known. I said, God must have known what? He said, God must have known that I would have never stepped foot in a church unless one literally landed on my doorstep. That is why we go and do church on these people's doorsteps. So what did God call us to do? Well, God, on a prayer walk one afternoon, I felt like the Holy Spirit asked me a question. What would you do if your church did not exist anymore? And at this point, we had a Sunday morning church service. So I thought about that question. What would we do if our church didn't exist anymore? And our answer was pretty simple. We wouldn't do anything differently. We wouldn't move from our building. We wouldn't stop being friends with our neighbors. We wouldn't stop pastoring this community. We call it our vertical neighborhood. We wouldn't stop pastoring it. We'd simply continue to be there and be salt and life. So it dawned on us, this is what God is calling us to do, to be missionaries to our neighborhood. And so now we had to figure out how would a missionary do this? So what did we do about it? Well, everybody's got to eat. So we said, I know our neighbors would love to get together for a meal. So we just opened up this meal in our community room for everybody in the building. There's 400 people in our building. And week after week, we'd do this. And eventually, about 60 people come every single time we do this. And we would simply have a meal together. We would laugh together. We would sometimes even cry together. But we would listen to each other's stories and begin to build relationships. And through that, we got to hear how people needed to be pastored, how they needed to be shepherded. So we said, let's just simply pastor our building. And then eventually, we're able to invite them to a faith gathering. So that is how it got started in our building. But then we began to realize that there's these vertical neighborhoods all over Portland. There's traditional neighborhoods all over Portland with people who will not go to church. So how do we go and plant the church on their doorsteps? Well, again, out on a prayer walk one day, I felt like the Holy Spirit said, this building right here, Station Place, 9th and Lovejoy, that is going to be the next place you plant, because the person that I have in mind for leading this already lives there and is already ready. Wow. And so we were like, okay. So we made an appointment with the resident coordinators. We went and presented community dinners to them, told them exactly what we do and how we do it, and they loved it. And they said, yes, please come start community dinners here. So we said, well, we also start faith gatherings. Can we do that here? And they said, you know what? It's funny, because 2 weeks ago, one of our residents came and said, can we start a faith gathering here? And we said, just hold off and wait until we figure this out. But now we know why, because you guys can partner with them to start a faith gathering here. So that was the second building. And this is kind of how it works. You just give people time and space to lean into the conversations about Jesus. We don't press people, because the Holy Spirit's already at work. Well, there was an older gentleman at Station Place. He's in his 70s or 80s and very educated. He is a Jewish man who would read the Old Testament in Hebrew. He brought his Hebrew Bible down once to read it to us. But he was not a religious guy. He didn't adhere to any faith. And month after month, he would come and he would talk to us about religion. But at the end of those conversations, he would always say, I don't see how this really helps humanity. It hasn't helped me, hasn't helped my friends. I don't see how it helps humanity. Well, 9 months of that goes on. And one community dinners, one of my friends, Corey, is there with us. And Corey starts to talk to him about the book of Ruth, right? Not where I would start, but he obviously knew something I didn't. And at the end of the conversation, it ended like it always ends. We're leaving the building, and Jeff says, I still don't get this. Why is Ruth's story so special? Millions of people have had to go through this. So why is this so special? I don't get it. And so Corey was kind of fed up with the theology talk, and he goes, okay, here's the deal. Let's bring this down to a personal level. I know in my life, I need a kinsman redeemer. And you know what, in Ruth, for the book of Ruth, for Ruth, she needed a kinsman redeemer. And for me, that kinsman redeemer is Jesus. And Jeff stops, his eyes get big, his mouth opens wide, and he goes, that's what I was waiting to hear. And that night, he met his kinsman redeemer. It was amazing. And 2 months later, we come back. We didn't see him for 2 months. And then he comes back, and he comes as quickly as he can, run up to us. And he says, you know what? I found a church. I went out and I found a church and I love it. We said, well, what is it about this church that you love? Because every time I walk in, I'm hugged, I'm loved, and I find a place that I belong. And so it's just simply planting the church on these people's doorsteps who would not have gone to church. So that was our second community dinner and faith gathering. Now we have 7 of them throughout Portland. And I just want to tell you quickly about what's next. Well, this year, 2020, we want to plant 4 more community dinners and faith gatherings. And those conversations with resident coordinators, buildings, and partners have already started. And we're just strategizing on how to get those 4 up and off the ground. Well, the long-term goal is this, is there is 191 metro neighborhoods in Portland, Vancouver, and Salem. And starting with Portland, we want to see a missionary initiative in all 191 neighborhoods. That could be community dinners and faith gatherings. That could be skate church. That could be any number of things that brings the gospel and the love of God on the doorsteps of people who would not go to church. Pastor Ray has said more than once, every neighborhood in Portland. Well, we're all in on that vision. We are absolutely 100% all in on that vision. And these are the 4 things that we would ask for your help with. First of all is to help us plant community dinners and faith gatherings. Do you love to cook? We would love to have you. Do you love to play live music? Do you love to meet new people and build relationships and listen to stories? We would love to have you a part of that. Come and talk to us. Secondly is pray. Pray for favor. Pray for open doors. And pray that the leaders who are already in those neighborhoods would rise up. And that would get connected. Just like in Station Place, the people are already there. In fact, I know it because you guys already live in neighborhoods. So the people are already there. The third thing is to go. Plant a missionary initiative in a neighborhood, a place that God has burdened your heart for. And the fourth thing is this, is partner with us financially. We believe this is a big, audacious goal, and we need all four of these things to happen in order to create the legacy that we really believe God is calling us to. Amen?
Amen. Say thank you to Mark. What a great vision, great fruit that God has brought to this. I don't remember how many years ago it was, Mark, but this church made an investment in helping to start those community dinners. And now they've grown from 1 to 7. And we believe this next year it's going to grow to 4. But we also believe with some support from Portland Christian Center that this ministry could become sustainable, that Mark and Tracy can get out there and get other churches on board with this vision. And we really do believe we can plant a faith gathering, a dinner community, a faith gathering, something in every single neighborhood in Portland. And so that's what our final offering is going to be today. We're going to give, you know, hopefully generously and heroically to this vision for Mark and Tracy, and Urban Mission Initiative is what we've called it in the past, and it continues to be called that. And so we want to really launch them out to do even more through what we're doing here by investing in that. And so I have a goal. This is a big, hairy, audacious goal, but I want us to give $50,000 today. Now, that would require all of us doing something, and some of you could do this. You know, when we launched this, there was a great outpouring of generosity. And so I want you, between now and that offering, about an hour from now, and if you promise to give really generously, I'll make it a half hour. We want to seed this ministry. We believe God is doing something here, and God has already prepared places. We're just waiting for the strategy and the people to do it. So would you pray about it and then respond to that and help us to do it? And whatever you can do, just ask God, God, what do you want me to do? And then do it. And I think the Lord's going to really help us with this. Well, let me bring it back to you. This is Paul Lewandowski. This is Mark and Tracy Seeger. But what about you? What about you? How can you leverage who you uniquely are? How can you leverage what God has put in at your disposal? And how has God impassioned you for something? Not going to be the same as Mark or Paul or Ray, but how has God given, what kind of passions has God given you? And how can then you turn that into a vision for God's mission where you live? God has planted you in a corner of his creation. And just like Adam and Eve, he has given you the creation mandate to manage it and to bring it under his rule. How can you do that? Who are you? What do you have? What are you passionate about? How can you turn that into a vision to engage in the mission of God? Well, there are two things that you've got to do to catch God's vision. One, you've got to embrace holy discontent. You have to allow the Lord to dislocate your heart for something that's not right. And two, you've got to exercise holy ambition. This is what must happen. In holy discontent, you experience some spiritual seething. This is not right. In holy ambition, you employ spiritual seeing. You begin to picture what it is that God wants you to possess. Now, here's how these two things led to the birth of Nehemiah's history-changing vision. I want to just quickly go through this. The whole book of Nehemiah tells this story. I want to come back to this at some point in the future and unpack for you, you know, what this looked like through Nehemiah. But let me just compress this for time's sake. And I want to read just a few verses from chapter 1 and chapter 2. And so Nehemiah was living 1,000 miles away from Jerusalem. He was in Persia. And he had come into a government job. He was a clerk. He was a wine taster or a cupbearer for the king. And he got some bad news from Jerusalem. He was more Persian than he was Jewish, but he still was connected by ethnicity and by faith. And he got some bad news from his brother who had visited Israel, had visited Jerusalem. And he came back and he told him this really difficult story, sad story of what was going on there. And this is what Nehemiah says. When I heard the Jews were in great trouble and disgrace, and Jerusalem's wall was broken down, I sat down and wept. For days I mourned, fasted, and prayed before God. Skip down to the end of the chapter and going into chapter 2. Now I was the king's cupbearer. And when wine was brought in, I took it to him. I had not been sad in his presence before, so he asked me, why does your face look so sad when you are not ill? I was quite afraid. Why was he afraid? Because you put on your best face, you put your best foot forward when you served a king. He could downsize you, like literally downsize you. He could cut you off, literally cut your head off. He could, you know, you just didn't want to displease the king. And so Nehemiah was actually afraid when the king noticed this. And so he asked him this question, what's wrong? You're not ill. Why do you look sad? I was quite afraid, but I said, why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire? The king said to me, what is it that you want? What is it that you want? So I prayed. That was a very quick prayer. I prayed to God and then answered, if it pleases the king and your servant has found favor, send me to Jerusalem so I can rebuild it. Send me to Jerusalem so I can rebuild it. So there are two ways in this passage that Nehemiah engaged in visioneering. Number one, he embraced holy discontent. He embraced holy discontent. On receiving this bad news, it says in chapter 1, verse 4, I sat down and wept. He said, I mourned, and I fasted, and I prayed. If you don't want to get your heart dislocated, if you don't want to be made uncomfortable, if you don't want to cry or lose sleep over how things ought to be but aren't, you're never going to get a vision. Nehemiah could have retreated to his cushy government job. He had a nice benefits package and a retirement pension. He could have pointed the finger at the Jews back in Israel. He could have said, you're the ones that messed up, not me. It was working fine at one point. You've changed stuff. It's not going very well, and that's not my problem. He could have said, go ahead and stew in your juices. I'm going to get back to what I have before me to do. But he didn't. He saw the wrong. He got seething mad. He took it to God. And in the process, he saw a solution. And that leads to number two. Nehemiah exercised holy ambition. He wanted God to restore Jerusalem. So he prayed, give your servant success today. And when he gained audience with the king, he said, send me to Jerusalem so I can rebuild it. In essence, what Nehemiah prayed was, God, what do you want to do about this? Through me. What do you want to do about this? Through me. He took a risk. He made himself available to God, and he became the solution to his own problem. And that's what's going to happen if you will engage in some visioneering. You will become the answer to your own request. God wants to make you the answer to your own vision. God's going to say to you, okay, I'm going to do it. Whatever you're asking of me, I'm going to do it. But I'm going to do it through you. I was talking to my daughter Ashley this week. We talk on the phone almost every day. And on this particular day, a couple of days ago, she was very upset. She was just kind of seething because there had been, probably read about it, a shooting in downtown Seattle, right in front of one of the buildings where her company works, Amazon, and it was a few blocks from where our other daughter, Danielle, and her husband, Stephen, live. And what happened apparently was a couple of guys that had gang affiliation that should have been in jail weren't, because of a kind of a crazy catch and release program that the city government has implemented. And so they shot at each other, but shot, I think, five other people in the process. One of those persons died. And Ashley was just mad about it. They should have been in jail. She said, people are angry. People are upset. The crazy policies we have in this city, which is destroying the city, you know, are the result of us putting council people and mayors in place that aren't getting the job done. She's just kind of ranting and raving about this. And I said, Ashley, why don't you run for mayor? Why don't you run for mayor? I mean, you've got an MBA from a prestigious business school. You work at Amazon. Think of all the resources that you have at your disposal, people and other resources. Why don't you run for mayor? And she quit griping at that point. I don't know about that, but I think it has a nice ring to it. Mayor Ashley of Seattle. Why not? Why not? We have one of our guys, I don't know if he's here today, but an usher back here, Jack, he's gotten fed up with what's going on in Portland, and he is going to be running for city council. Why not? Why not? Holy discontent and holy ambition. And listen, friends, God has a life of impact for every single one of you sitting here or listening to this today. But it begins with vision. It begins with vision. So what is your vision? Vision is birthed as you get a consuming distaste for what is and an insatiable hunger for what should be. Now, let me just add this. Holy discontent alone is not enough. Lots of people are dissatisfied. I know, I'm a pastor. I see it, I hear it. Lots of people get upset, right? They don't like what's going on. But if it never goes beyond that, you will either become a griper or a shrinker. A griper or a shrinker. Gripers complain and criticize. And they make great armchair quarterbacks. But we don't need any more of those. In fact, we don't need any of those. Shrinkers pull back from steps of faith. They're spiritual bench warmers. They're spectators. Sometimes they ask to be traded to another team. Neither one of them help us a whole lot. So holy discontent alone is not enough. But you combine holy discontent with holy ambition, then your heart's vision will meet with supernatural power. And that's when God does some stuff. That's when miracles happen. God using ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And so I want to challenge you. God is giving us a big vision for Portland Christian Center. You're going to be asked to be involved in that, but God also has an extraordinary vision for you, for your life. So begin to pray, begin to envision for your life and for this church, and then make yourself available to God. And you watch what God does. He's going to give your life a legacy-building impact. So I want to pray with you, if you would. We're going to put this prayer back on the screen, and we're going to change it from let this testimony to let our testimony to now let my testimony be recorded for a generation yet unborn, that a people yet to be created shall praise the Lord. What if you prayed that prayer every day? What if you begin to go, God, show me what it is you have for my life? He will, and he will make you the answer to your own prayer. Would you pray this with me? Every voice together. Let my testimony be recorded for the generation yet unborn, that a people yet to be created shall praise the Lord. Would you bow your heads? Father, I pray that you would stir our hearts today. I pray that you would dislocate our hearts. Would you discomfort us? Lord, would you shake us out of our comfort zones? And would you begin the process of implanting and clarifying a vision for what it is you want to do in us and through us and in our church and through our church? God, we know that what we do in this season of time, the steps of faith and obedience that we take toward the heavenly vision, will leave a legacy for our future generation, people not yet born, who because of what we do in this moment, they will praise the Lord. God, I pray that as we go on this vision, this 2020 vision together, you would do that for us. God, do that for us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God heard that prayer. God sees your heart. He knows how you're reaching out to him. And God is going to give you a vision for what he wants to do in you and through you. And it's gonna be so extraordinary. I believe this. It's gonna be so extraordinary that it will cause a future generation to praise the Lord. So I would say, let's give that future generation, let's give them something to talk about. Almost makes me wanna channel Bonnie Raitt and sing that song as a benediction. Let's give them something to talk about. Shall we do that? Let's give them something to talk about. No, we're not going to do that. Hey, let's give them something to talk about. Amen? Amen? Amen. Well, we're going to receive an offering. This is a visionary offering that we're giving today. We want to fund the Urban Mission Initiative. We want to see these churches planted all over Portland. We're going to plant a church on their doorstep. They won't come here. We'll go there. That's what we're going to do. So I'm going to ask our ushers to prepare. They're going to come and be generous with what God is calling you to do today, and God will bless you for it. This too, what we're doing right now, this is a legacy-leaving offering that we're gonna receive. So thank you in advance for it. God, we just pray that in this moment where we make our resources available to you, that you would use this, you would take it, you would stretch it to meet the need. I pray that Mark and Tracy would be unleashed like never before to increase the number of dinner communities and faith gatherings in these strongholds of unreached people that are resistant to the church as they envision it. But Lord, I pray that as we do this, they would see the real church, a group of loving, committed Christ followers who are so winsome that people want to join. God, would you do that, I pray. And Lord, I pray that we'll come back in a year or two or three or 5 years from now and we'll just be astounded at what you've done. That a people that are yet formed into a spiritual community will praise the Lord. That this testimony will lead to them praising the Lord and giving gratitude to God because of what he's done to redeem them. We pray this and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for listening to this week's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you want more information about the ministries of Portland Christian Center or have a prayer need, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. Thanks for listening.